Friends, I grew up in a rich family. My grandparents were wealthy. All my aunts and uncles were wealthy on both sides. So what I saw was an easy life. And that put a few things in my head that weren't true. They put in the thought in my mind that everything is easy, that things will all be there. And I just expected it. I expected everything to be paid off and for everything to be great. But as I was going through my education, I had that mindset, so I didn't really think much about getting ready for life in the future. And my parents insisted, no, you must study this, you must study that. And they really, really pushed me to be ready for the moment that would come in my future where I would be able to be prepared to provide a life for myself and for my family. I wouldn't have listened to them had I looked at just my experience, because I thought that everything was easy. However, they knew otherwise. Well, in today's video, I want to talk about a topic that's super important, and often our experience and the things that people say deceive us into thinking that things will be easier than they really are, but they are not. I'm here to warn you that things will be very difficult, and the more prepared you are, the more you take advantage of different possibilities in your life. Please join me in today's video. We should pray. Holy Spirit, be with us, guide our minds, and open up our understanding that we may know and believe and understand as Jesus wants us to. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, this is the channel Uniquely Mary, and my name is Alvaro, and it is a joy to be here with you. If you find this channel or these videos helpful, please hit the like button. Please support this channel also through Patreon or through Etsy by purchasing merchandise. And above all things, pray for me and know that I am always praying for you. By watching these videos, you are automatically included in my prayers. Guaranteed, no matter who you are. But if you don't watch my videos, I'm not going to pray for you because too many people to pray for. So I was bringing up an analogy from my life in the introduction, talking about sometimes we are deceived into thinking that things are easier than they are. Another analogy. Suppose you were the only one that had no idea that Black Friday was a reality, that everyone around you knew about all these amazing sales, and they knew of all these secret places where you can get everything, and they knew of all these amazing things, sales on cars, on clothing, on electronics, on food items or house items, and everyone knew all about this, except for you. And you were having to get stuck getting paid full price. Wouldn't you be angry at your friends? And wouldn't you say, why didn't you tell me about it? Why didn't you tell me about this amazing sale that's happening? Well, today I am combining these two analogies, and I want to tell you about the reality that we have to face and an amazing sale that you can have access to. So first, one way that Christians are so deceived, both Catholic, and I'm Catholic, obviously, if you didn't know that, by the way, I'm Catholic. Catholics are greatly deceived into thinking that the judgment is going to be so easy, that they're just going to pass it with flying colors, that just because God is merciful, that we can do whatever we want, and we're going to have no accountability at all because Jesus is such a nice guy. Often Catholics kind of have this mentality. And Jesus' own words don't support that. And I will read them to you, a selection of words, quotes from Jesus, so you can hear what he says about how he is, which is more important than what someone else says. And Protestants often have this conception that if they just say words or have a faith experience or accept Jesus as their savior, that that takes care of all of it. However, Jesus never says this. Who says these things? St. Paul and a few other people. But I think Jesus is more important than St. Paul. So St. Paul has to line up with Jesus and not vice versa. So I want you to really listen to these next verses. And I picked several, so it's not just one, because I want to get a greater context. Just kind of like you need to hear the whole conversation and not just take one verse out of context, because you know that's not good to do. In the same way with the scriptures, we cannot do that. We need to take as broad a picture as possible to understand the whole thing. So I want you to sit and really think about these verses, not arguing with what I'm saying, but listening to what I'm trying to present to you out of love for you. This is from Matthew 12, 33 to 37. He says, in response to what they're saying, either declare the tree good and its fruit is good, or declare the tree rotten and its fruit is rotten. For a tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you say good things when you are evil? For from the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks. A good person brings forth good out of a store of goodness, but an evil person brings forth evil out of a store of evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, listen to this, what Jesus says, not what Pastor so-and-so, what Jesus says. On the day of judgment, people will render an account for every careless word they speak. Did you hear that? People will render an account for every careless word they speak. By your words, you will be acquitted. By your words, you will be condemned. Just this verse should have you shaking. Every single word you have said, are saying, or will say will be weighed. You will be judged by. Jesus says this. Luke 12, 35 through 57. So bear with me, because you need to hear this. And all of this is an idea that Jesus is presenting to us. He says, gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. He's talking about getting ready for when Jesus comes to get us in judgment when we die. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will guard himself and have them recline at table and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Then Peter said, Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and an unknown hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. The servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. Let's take a breather. That's a heavy one. And these are Jesus' words here. It's no coincidence that the next thing that Jesus says is this: I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There's a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father-in-law. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, and a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say immediately that it is going to rain, and so it does. And when you notice that the wind is blowing from the south, you say that it is going to be hot, and so it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the weather? Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? If you were to go with your opponent before a magistrate, make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Otherwise, your opponent will turn you over to the judge. The judge will hand you over to the constable, and the constable throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. Jesus is talking about purgatory. Listen to the logic. Be ready when he comes. If you knew what you were supposed to do and you don't do it, you'll be punished severely. There are different expectations of different people depending on how much you know. So we need to be ready for the judgment. And then the next thing that he starts talking about is about fire. How he wants to set the earth on fire. That's interesting. He talks about setting the world on fire. The Holy Spirit. But where else is there fire? Hell. But also purgatory. That's interesting. And then the very next sentence, next section, he's talking about that we need to settle the matter on the way and clear it out. Otherwise, we will not be released until you have paid the last penny. Where is a place where there's fire where we pay the last penny? Purgatory. So if you're a Protestant, Jesus is talking about purgatory. He's using an earthly metaphor, their justice system, to say that on the other side, there's also a justice system. And it's not hell he's talking about. Because in hell, you will not be released. And in heaven, there's no penny to be paid. The only place where you can pay the last penny is in purgatory. Jesus himself is the one who created purgatory, not the Catholic Church. Jesus. The next section, Matthew 21:28, the parable of the two sons. What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, "Son, go out and work in the vineyard today." He said in reply, "I will not." But afterwards he changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, "Yes, sir," but did not. Which of the two did his father's will? They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." So with these two sons, was it enough to say, "I believe in Jesus"? "Yes, sir. I love you, Jesus." Nope. It's not enough. Jesus never says that all we have to do to be saved is say, "Jesus, you're my Savior." Jesus never says that. Jesus never says in any of the four Gospels, "You must accept me as your Lord and Savior, and then you will be saved." He doesn't say that. He says you must say, "Yes, sir," and do the will of God. So it's not enough to say something. You must act like Jesus. You must act like Jesus and profess faith in him. You must do both. The last one, and it's the only parable where Jesus has an extended description of the judgment. So we should take note. Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations. You've probably heard this, but think about this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say to them in reply, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. A stranger and you gave me no welcome. Naked and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison and you did not care for me." Then they will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?" He will answer them, "Amen, I say to you, What you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me. And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Think about this. Both of those groups had something in common. They both called Jesus Lord. Those that were condemned said, Lord, when did we see you? And those that were saved, Lord, it's not enough to call Jesus Lord. You must also serve Jesus in these groups of people. Why did Jesus give this parable? Because he knew how people are. And you know that it's true. He knew that people don't really want to care for other people. They just want to bow down to Jesus and say, Jesus, we love you. You're a rock star. You're awesome. But they don't want to get their hands dirty and serve the ugly, serve the less intelligent, serve the dirty, serve the smelly people. They don't want to do it because they're too proud. And you know that it's so true. We want to praise the Lord, but not serve his servants. And that's hypocrisy. And Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it. That's why in the parable, the standard of being judged, whether you enter heaven or not, is did you serve the difficult people? That's the standard of judgment. Everything that I've told you is trying to prepare you for what you will face, just like my parents did when I was younger. And I'm glad that they did. I hated hearing it when I was younger because I was immature. But then afterwards, now, I was able to be ready and be prepared for life. And it was still hard, even though I was prepared in my education. Now let me tell you about a sale, a discount. You have a lot of debt that you're going to owe to God. A lot. Every careless word you say will be weighed. You have a lot of debt that you will have when you face God in judgment. You have no idea how terrifying that moment will be. It will be so scary because real life will happen. It will be real. Let me tell you about the greatest sale in history, Divine Mercy Sunday. This is for us sinners, for those of us that are not able to fulfill the many things that Jesus asks us to do and rightly asks us to do, but we are not able to fulfill. Listen to what he has to say. And this is to St. Faustina and around the 1920s and 30s. Jesus appeared to this young Polish nun, and he said the following, My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. Let me read that again. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness and be freed of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flow are opened. All of divine floodgates. Apparently, there's many floodgates. All of them are open on Divine Mercy Sunday. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of angel, will be able to fathom it through all eternity. Everything that exists has come forth from the very depths of my most tender mercy. Every soul in its relation to me will contemplate my love and mercy throughout eternity. The Feast of Mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter, which for me is tomorrow. Mankind will have no peace until it turns to the fount of mercy. Did you get that? Did you hear all that in context? Jesus demands more than you can possibly imagine of you. Divine Mercy Sunday has been given to us as, I would say, it's the greatest day of the year, the greatest feast that we can celebrate on any calendar year, in any religion, in any universe. Take advantage. I'll put more information in the description if you want to learn more. Otherwise, just do what Jesus says. Thank you for listening. God bless you and have a beautiful day.